Good morning. Yeah, I'm the last arsenic Fendorf talk, but there is another Fendorf non-arsenic talk later on, so stay tuned. And I just want to preface this talk by saying that my voice is usually much higher pitched than right now, so I'll do my best to project my voice, but if I can't hear me, please raise your hand. I'm just suffering from a little bit of a cold. So I'm going to switch gears slightly, continuing on the arsenic theme, but talk about arsenic in relation to rice. And if we look at global rice production, it's very clear that most of the rice grown in the world is grown in South and Southeast Asia, which, as Jason clearly pointed out, is suffering from a very high rate of arsenic in groundwater, which is being used for drinking water. But as populations are increasing and the need for more food is increasing, this area is increasing production of rice by irrigated dry land or irrigated crop during the dry season. So as the need for food supply increases, we might expect also arsenic entry into the food chain to increase with time. So arsenic that's present in groundwater or just present in soil makes its way onto rice paddy fields, which can get taken up into rice grains and serve as an additional source of arsenic exposure in the human population. So if people are using or are consuming rice or consuming water that is contaminated with arsenic and then consuming rice that also is contaminated with arsenic, it's just an additional source of arsenic exposure. So understanding how arsenic species get taken into rice is really important. There's been a lot of physiological studies in the last 10 years or so on arsenic species and how they get taken up into plants, particularly rice plants. And we know that under oxidized conditions, arsenic is either monovalent or divalent, so phosphate analog, and it's pretty well established, gets taken up into plants through phosphate transport proteins. And recently, Ma et al. Has established that arsenous acid, arsenite, which at circumneutral pH is present as an undissociated acid, is also taken up in the same mechanism as salicylic acid in rice plants. And so these species could potentially move from the rhizosphere into the plant and then taken up into the grains that we consume. So while hydroponic studies are really useful for understanding how these species get taken up by transport proteins, it's really important to understand what's happening in soil, because most of these rice plants are actually grown in soil. And as we know, there can be a lot of interesting chemistry that occurs at the rhizosphere. So this is supposed to be some soil overlain by water. So rice is grown usually in flooded conditions. And in order for these roots to respire, the plant must pump or must transport oxygen from the atmosphere down to the roots, which sets up a redox gradient at the roots interface. So you have bulk soil that has predominantly reduced arsenic and reduced iron, and then some distance away from the root, just a few millimeters, the rhizosphere is oxidized. So as plants are transpiring water, reduced iron interacts with oxygen and can produce an iron plaque on the exterior of rice roots. So this is supposed to be a cross-section of a root, just a simplified cartoon. And you can imagine that that oxygen is being transported out of the root, forming an iron plaque, and then arsenic species, either arsenic 3 or arsenic 5, as they move toward the root, can get absorbed to the surface of the iron plaque. But what's not really known is what's the distribution of the iron plaque on rice roots that are grown in soil. And so we wanted to understand not only the iron plaque distribution and how that influences arsenic accumulation, but also what are those changes in arsenic speciation as you move from the rhizosphere into the plant and then into the rice grains. So So I grew rice plants in a controlled experiment in the laboratory, but I tried to simulate field conditions as closely as possible. So set up a controlled experiment that was basically like tiny mesocosms of rice, flooded rice paddies. So I had artificially loaded soil that contained no detectable arsenic initially with arsenic, and then irrigated medium grain California rice seed with 300 part per billion arsenic, which was present as 80% arsenic 3 and 20% arsenic 5, to try to reflect typical groundwater concentrations in Bangladesh, for example. I grew the rice to maturity, and then after harvesting, took a soil sample and anaerobically dried it in a glove bag and did a soil thin section. Also did thin sections of roots and rice grains, and then looked at the arsenic distribution and iron distribution with X-ray fluorescence imaging, and then did arsenic cage spectroscopy on hot spots. So this is a soil thin section of one of the pots after harvest, and you can see the arsenic is in red and the iron is in green. And this area right here is a hole, which was occupied by two roots. And if we do a finer resolution map of that area, of the rhizosphere, basically, that's what it looks like. So I drew in where the roots were, so you can see where the roots were. The iron's in green here, close to the root, and then the arsenic is some distance away. And then if we do a chemical speciation map of the arsenic species, that's on this side, the arsenic 5 is in blue, and the arsenic 3 is in red. So the arsenic 3 is not as high intensity as the arsenic 5. You can see a little bit of pink areas here, and that's where the arsenic 3 and arsenic 5 were about 50-50, as evidenced by arsenic cage spectroscopy. So these numbers here correspond to where I took arsenic stains. But as you move closer to the root, it gets dominated more by arsenic 5. About 70% of arsenic was present as arsenic 5 as you get closer to the root, which kind of fits that cartoon model I showed you, where the iron plaque has arsenic 5 on it, and then there's this exterior rim of arsenic 3. This is a picture of a rice root surface. So this is not a thin section, and these scale bars are picograms of either iron or arsenic. And this is just showing that iron plaque is not forming a homogeneous rind around rice roots, that it's actually pretty splotchy. But in this case, where there's high iron, there's also high arsenic, which is expected. I took arsenic zanes in about 10 spots on this root, and pretty much on all the spots, it was about 50-50 arsenic 3 and arsenic 5. However, I just want to point out that the iron plaque does not coat all of the roots, and these images were taken on the same root just a few millimeters away, where there was an abrupt transition between high pigmentation due to iron plaque and then very little pigmentation due to iron plaque. So here's where the iron plaque was visible, here's where the iron plaque was not visible. They're plotted on the same scale just to show you the relative magnitude. And again, where there's a lot of iron plaque, there's a lot of arsenic. Where there's not a lot of iron plaque, there's not a lot of arsenic. And what this means is that this idea that iron plaque is going to attenuate arsenic and reduce its uptake into rice plants is only going to happen where there's iron plaque. But if there's no iron plaque, then the arsenic can just move into these roots. Here I'm showing a thin section of a rice root. So this is toward the grain. And then this down here is toward the developing root tip. You can clearly see the xylem channel here, and then here's iron in the xylem channel. And here we have arsenic also in the xylem channel. And then there's this hotspot of arsenic outside of the xylem channel and a vacuole. And if we do arsenic speciation on those two spots, we see that in the xylem channel we have mostly arsenic 5, predominantly as inorganic arsenic 5, but also fitting with DMA. And then in a vacuole outside of the xylem channels is predominantly arsenic 3. And I'll talk about this later, but this is sort of in contrast to what the prevailing literature is saying about arsenic in the xylem channel. And here's a microprobe image of a rice grain, a thin section of a rice grain. You can clearly see the embryo here. This is the bran layer. And this is just potassium, so to give you a clear image of what we're looking at here. And just to note, this layer is removed. This is all removed during polishing. So if you're talking about white rice, pretty much all the arsenic is going to be gone. But if you're consuming mostly brown rice, then the arsenic will be present in this layer. And then if we do arsenic KH spectroscopy on these spots, we find that most of the arsenic in this rice grain is arsenic 5. About 70 to 90% is fitting best as arsenic 5 in the bran layer. And in the embryo, we do see some arsenic 3, but still mostly 80% of it is arsenic 5. So I just want to summarize here with a picture of a cartoon, really, of what's happening at the rhizosphere. So as you move from the rhizosphere here through root cells and then into the xylem, and up would be toward the grain, down would be deeper in the soil. So as I mentioned earlier, we can have oxygen leaking out of roots, precipitating reduced iron as iron plaque on the surface where arsenic 5 and arsenic 3 can sorb, but it's not coating all the roots. So arsenic 3, for example, can move into the roots and can go along the apoplastic space, which is basically not across a membrane, just in along cell walls that are porous. But once it reaches this Casparian strip, it has to go over a transporter. And Ma et al. Has done some great work looking at these two transporters that transport reduced arsenic as well as silicic acid and across this Casparian strip, and then another transporter that transports it into the xylem and then up toward the plant. It's still not known how arsenic 3 might get in here, but there is strong evidence for arsenic sequestration in vacuoles. And in our work, that's what I was showing, is that we do have reduced arsenic sequestered in vacuoles outside of the xylem. It could be sequestered with reduced glutathione, although our spectroscopy didn't reflect that in this study, but it has been shown in other plants and other studies. And then, like I said, it's pretty well established that arsenic 5 moves with phosphate transport proteins. And the Rothamsted group has shown that arsenic 5 is rapidly reduced to arsenic 3 in very short-term experiments lasting no more than about 20 days. These plants were grown to maturity. We didn't really see any evidence for strong reduction of arsenic 5 to arsenic 3. In fact, arsenic 5 seems to be moving toward the xylem and getting stored in the grains. And I just want to point out that if we zoom in to a root, there's different areas along the root where uptake of solutes could occur. And the Casparian strip is fully developed in this area. This is where a lot of solutes are taken up. But in this area, there's little differentiation between the roots. And we just hypothesize that this might be an important uptake into the metaxylem and then ultimately into rice grains. And with that, I just want to thank Sam Webb, Yoko Slowey, Matthew Marcus, Oliver Chadwick, and UG for various components of this work. Thanks.
Well, we have time for one question.
Yep.
Where's DMA coming from?
Oh, the question was, where's DMA coming from? And the answer is, I don't know, and I don't. Nobody else does either. It's currently not known whether DMA can be produced within the plant, although we do know that if it's in the soil, it can be taken up along the same transport proteins that that reduced arsenic can.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Whether it was DMA3 or DMA5? That was DMA5.